Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo, where if we're naughty, naughty, naughty boys, Ewan will beat us over with a stick.
We're not supposed to make any noise during the opening that everybody gets to see on the video.
Yeah, it comes out on the video audio as well. And I can't get
rid of it. Really?
Yeah, I can't get rid of that then.
Oh.
You don't record the audio and video separately?
Well, I don't have to. Because the video and audio can be recorded on the video feed and it sounds really, really good until someone talks over the frigging credits. And then I've got to edit it.
Bagel Tech whinge.
Oh, shut up, Fox.
Oh, there's some editing for you.
Right, we're off.
Go for it.
Welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. We'll do a proper intro here. We've got the usual crew around us, plus somewhere lurking on Twitter right now, Lord Bagel. We're trying to figure this person out. We don't know who he is, but he's got Lord one hell Bagel. Of an afro. I still can't get over it, man. Before we get into the week in photo news, let's introduce you to our staple panel. The guys you know, the guys you love, the guys you can't live without. We'll start with Chris Forsman, Ars Technica, the man, the only man, 12-pixel, megapixel man. Chris, how are you? I'm never going to get this right.
I'm the 12-megapixel dollar man.
Good one.
Changing my name to Steve Austin.
Good one.
Bionic good week.
Did you have a good week?
A man barely alive.
I've had a busy week, but I'm excited because I leave tomorrow to be at the Martha Stewart show. So.
And you want to have sex with
her? Oh.
If it comes up, it
I'm
comes
sorry,
up.
Mate. Was that just said saying. In confidence? I hadn't realized.
I'm just saying, if it comes up, it comes up. I'm not, you know.
If it comes
I'm not
up.
Kicking her out of bed. God's sake.
Righto.
Martha Stewart.
No. No, it's Martha Stewart. She's been in prison, for God's sakes.
Wait, she can buy me. She can buy and sell me 20 times in the next 30 seconds.
Well, she might be a bit looser than before then.
Okay. Oh,
moving on.
Moving on, yeah. Woo-hoo. Let's go over to Alex first. You wash your mouth out with soap there, Ewan.
I will do.
How are you? How are you, Alex? You're building what? The Empire State Building? What are you doing in your backyard?
It's like a garden room, but it's...
What's worrying, Alex, is that you had to look before you answered then.
No, I'm just trying to see if it's still up.
What's it becoming?
Well, it's becoming a hell of a big, expensive toy. You know, you budget one amount and then you think, you know, I could have had another loft conversion for the price this has cost. But yeah, it should be really good for putting more junk in when it's finished.
So that's the idea of it. It's a junk.
No, holder. But I know that's exactly what it's going to be. The idea of it was going to give me some space that wasn't going to be cluttered and full of junk. But that's never going to happen, is it?
Well, the more junk you have, the merrier.
Yeah, I can make junk. A camera museum. And yes, my week has been incredibly busy. When I haven't been working really hard, I've been working really hard. So, yeah, thanks for asking.
Sounds. Yes, I know. I was about to. You read my mind.
And I haven't shaved. Much.
And last... Yeah, but you look like Ringo, so just, you know, just leave it.
I'll live with that.
Your wife will thank you. Last, but by certainly no means least, who's going to be getting a letter from Martha Stewart very soon in the post, Mr. Ewan Rankin.
Oh, I hope so. She's hot.
The real Lord Bagel.
I am Lord Bagel. Everyone else is a pretender. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been an interesting day, to say the least.
Very.
Now I'm getting all these tweets about sharing a prison cell with Martha. Oh, this is great.
You and Martha. Jiggy, jiggy. Moving on.
I'm really glad you incited this Mr. Lord William guy. This is great.
I think that's Alex's son, to be honest, but there we go.
Oh, no way. He wouldn't have written anything rude.
He hasn't, has he?
Now, he might be Lord Bagel.
I think I can work out who William Lord Bagel is.
The weekend photography news. Let's get into it. First, do we really care? Sony has removed the click noise from your videos.
Well, I think Ewan could do that.
What, removing the click?
Yeah, from the credit. You know, like when he says, shut up, don't use your mouse, behave yourselves.
Yeah, I'll leave that on, I know. But I took it off for this show. I just left it on for last night's big show, unfortunately. But thank you, Alex, for pointing it out.
I always wonder, you only ever turn it on when you press go.
I know.
So the click, 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 it's all gone. Or they've reduced it anyways from video. So...
there's not many clicks on photos.
Oh, that's true. There's only one, but it's very silent.
Yeah, where was the click coming from, though?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because the story doesn't actually tell you where it was. It says it gets rid of the click, but it doesn't say why the click emanates in the first place. Because you would have thought that a repeated clicking would indicate something associated with shutter that was, you know, like a fake shutter noise. Like they've, because isn't there a US requirement to put a fake shutter noise on cameras now? So that people know they're going off.
They tried to bring it in here. I remember that.
Yeah, because the iPhone, if you put it on mute, it still makes a shkirk sound when it goes off, so that you can't do like upskirt stuff in nightclubs without a person knowing that you've done it. Mm-hmm. So,
you're going to hear that in a nightclub.
Well, exactly.
But. Sorry, Chris, you had something sensible to say.
Oh, sorry. I've just suddenly imagined myself in a nightclub upskirting
with Martha Stewart.
With Martha Stewart.
Upskirting with Martha Stewart. There's the title.
I've come into this very late, but isn't Martha Stewart old enough to be my mother?
Thank you. That's what I said.
Okay, just checking. Just checking that maybe I've got the wrong Martha Stewart.
Alex, times are tough right now. Chris is just trying to get the money.
I'm just getting a pen before I forget Upskirt with Martha Stewart as the title.
I'm told that Brits are familiar with the term MILF, and I'll leave it at that.
Sorry? Oh, I think I know what you said now. I worked it out backwards. Okay.
All right. So what we're saying is, with the Sony story here, we have no idea what this story is about, other than the clicks have now gone.
Yeah, it does make you wonder why they were there in the first place.
It produced a disruptive tendency of producing an audible click loud enough to ruin a 1080 by 60 video. If you move suddenly while shooting, it would make a click. Oh, there you go.
What about the zoom feature? I mean, couldn't it be kind of... wouldn't it be maybe the zoom in, zoom out, click, 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 click?
Yeah, a noisy lens, maybe.
We really should move on to another story that's actually worth the crap.
Exactly.
Okay. How about Nikon is apologizing for their Facebook camera? Yeah, this was kind of funny. They put a statement on Facebook and then they basically retracted it about as fast as possible. Did you hear about this, Chris? Being with the Ars Technica and everything else?
I have not.
Well, that doesn't help. That doesn't help.
They had a Facebook fan page thing, and they put on there, a photographer is only as good as the equipment he uses, and a good lens is essential to taking good pictures. Which, if you're trying to sell lenses, I suppose, is essential. But if you're a photographer already, I think the comments said it all, because most people got extremely pissed off with that. Then one of the guys, his last comment was, eye to lens. So, which is a good point.
Yeah, but I mean, do you know what? I don't disagree with Sony. I just think there's people that aren't particularly great photographers have taken offence at being told that they're not very good photographers.
I'll be sure to forward on their Facebook addresses to you, Alex.
No, I really don't have an issue. You know, I mean, you can take the best picture in the world, and if you take it with a crappy lens... other than maybe sticking it on Facebook, there's not an awful lot else you can do with it. And let's face it, they're trying to sell lenses. So I would have said, on the offensive level, I think the thing said about Martha Stewart probably come a bit higher than that.
It was supposed to.
What you're saying is the equipment makes the man. Is that what you're saying?
Well, look, if a bad workman blames his tools... starting off with bad tools in the first place isn't going to help the matter.
No.
That's true.
I think that's the point, was that the comments that were made for the people there were, you know, good workmen could do anything. So
that's just a load of rubbish.
You know, but I got to say, you know, the iPhone camera, I take nice pictures with it, and I probably take better pictures than other people who aren't photographers do with it, because I don't try and tax it too much. I don't give it, you know, ridiculous... strips of exposure to deal with from light and shade. I took a nice picture this morning. I was very proud of considering it was the iPhone camera, of some grapes with some light coming through them. And I didn't think it'd do very well going into the sun. It did just fine. So, you know, I think that's the point, is that the cameras do a lot of work for people now. And the more work that they do well, the better the photographer has got of capturing an image, which is posterable, I think is a fair statement to make.
Yeah,
it's funny you touch. Sorry. I was going to say, it's funny that you touch on the iPhone, because we can get this a little bit out. iPhone 5 rumors and all this stuff. 8 megapixels supposedly coming out on this camera. Are we going to see a huge amount of difference in this if it is 8 megapixels?
No, it'll be a bigger camera? Picture of crap. No, but, I noticed everyone laughed but didn't disagree.
Okay. I'm turning off my Nikon snob filter now. Oh, wait.
I think the word that Ewan used is postable. I mean, I don't know if it's a real word, and if it's not, it should be. But yes, it is posting on Facebookable, the iPhone, and various things like that. But that is about it. And you might get the odd person to say, I took this and look, I've blown it up by 10 by 8. But unless all the circumstances are perfect, you don't stand a chance.
Hmm. Yeah, Let's face it, you can print anything.
Sorry, you can print anything you like, but it just might not look very good.
What's funny about that, though, is because personally, you know, my main camera is the iPhone 4. And all the pictures I've taken on the Flickr group, by the way, BagelTechPhoto/groups, Flickr.com/group/BagelTechPhoto. Join us, please. You guys have commented on my very amateurish work and has said it looks good.
It does.
And this is that's a 4 megapixel camera.
But I think what you've done intelligently is that you've looked at the situation and you've taken pictures where you haven't overtaxed the sensor. So you're in good light you're not shooting into light, which is going to give it problems with divination between the two exposure levels. And you've taken great pictures because of that. You've let the camera take over and help you, but you've given it the chance to help you. And I think the problem is that people will pull out their iPhone and in very dark light or direct sunlight, they'll try and take a great picture and then go, oh, it's a piece of crap. Well, yes, it is. And it is a piece of crap. And that's the point. You should start from it's not a bad piece of crap. It's just less crappy than everything else that's out there. And if we're going to 8 megapixels, then my hope is that the sensor has improved as well as getting bigger. Otherwise, Alex is 100% right. It's bigger crap, nothing more.
You agree, Chris. I mean, you know, 12 megapixels going to be with Martha Stewart this weekend. Is it enough? Or a camera?
Within the biblical sense.
Yes, biblical sense, of course.
Yeah. I if you go back to the article I wrote for Ars, what we're talking about is for the majority of people, 12 megapixels is going to be enough. And it's talking about packing more and more pixels on, you know, APS-C sensor or even a Micro Four Thirds or especially these tiny point-and-shoot sensors. You know, if you pack more and more pixels in there, you're just making it harder to get a good shot, especially in low light. But I mean, you know, like, you know, dropping 8 megapixels on the iPhone, it's 100% just feature checkbox. You know, it's for all those people who whine and gripe that, well, you know, the Droid X2 or whatever has 8 megapixels and blah, blah, blah. It for 99.999% of the pictures that people are going to take on their iPhone and put on Instagram or Flickr or Facebook or whatever, it's not going to matter one bit at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just something, it's not in our news. It's just something that, you know, we're Apple frenzy this week and I thought I'd touch on it. We'll have more probably next week, hopefully, when the thing comes around, we can really dive into it a little bit more and see if Alex is correct. It is just a bigger bag of crap.
Just as a side note, I mean, this is only for our UK listeners and viewers. When Chris uses the word Ars, it reminds me of there used to be a program called The Farce Show, and it used to have this Cornish, I think he was a farmer, he used to go Ars, Ars, Ars. And it sounded like a Cornish farmer going Ars. But just that's the side point, but it just really reminded me of it.
For those who do care, Ars is Latin for art.
For those,
and the Far Show definitely was art.
For those people who are illiterate, says Chris.
Oh God, let's move on, shall we, please? Casio Trix camera. I'm one on the panel that didn't like this bag of crap, and I still don't like the bag of crap, but it's won an award, so it shows you what I know.
I saw the bag of crap at CES and thought it was also a bag of crap.
Oh, thank God. Thank you, Chris. Why is it a bag of crap? And why did it win an award?
Well, I can tell you why. It's an interesting idea. I should say they came with an interesting idea. And they made this flippable, foldable thing with kind of a little handle. And so the idea is that you can use this camera in lots of weird places you might not normally use a camera, or lots of weird situations. And they did all these, they had all these demonstrations at CES, like showing like people taking pictures while they're skydiving and things like that. But this award is just so dubious. Like, apparently it has the Guinness World Record for being the most adjustable digital camera. I mean, you might as well make an award for, the smallest. I mean, you can just make a category for anything, and some product is going to be, the best that fits that. What, if you make the category so narrow.
What's really impressed me about this award is the fact that they haven't called it, it's a very typical American phrase, the smallingest. Like the winningest.
The winningest, yes.
He's the most winningest coach in NFL history.
You damn straight he is.
It reminds me, Nokia brought out a phone that used to do stuff like this, and it was meant, I think it was a camera phone, and it did twists and various things. But to be honest, it just looks like a really cheap iPhone in, I don't know, some sort of gyroscopic frame.
It's funny we were going on about this, though, because I don't think Chris was on that show when we did that, but I remember you liking it, Alex, and I remember you and saying it has potential. Now I'm hearing bag of crap one and bag of crap two now.
Oh, I didn't say it was a bag of crap.
I'm surprised Ewan likes it at all, because the other besides the adjustable frame thing, the other signature feature is that it has built-in Instagram-like filters. So,
but go on, Alex, because I know you kind of praised this thing at first.
I like the idea. I mean, I still do. I like the idea of being able to, I mean, it depends what you're going to do. If you're hand holding it, it's completely and utterly pointless, right? You might as well just have a swivel back screen on any other camera. That's a complete waste of time. But for being able to position it somewhere, to use itself, it's its own support tripod, various uses, there's been times where I've sat there with a sort of a point and shoot digital camera, and sort of the convoluted setups I've tried to do just to be able to take a picture of something and not have to hold the camera at the same time. Or if you want to do a longish exposure on something and you haven't got a tripod, you know, things like that. So it does have its uses. It's a limited use, but I can see a few times where I would have quite liked the idea of being able to, have this facility. But then again, can always get one of those sort of beanbag things to stick your camera on, or a gorilla pod or something. But it's all built in. It's all how it works. So
we know you'd buy it, Alex. I mean, you're a man of a million cameras. We know you'd buy it. I was just kind of curious why you changed your story slightly about
it. Well, I'd buy it because I don't have one. That is normally enough reason.
Does Martha embezzle money from the taxman?
You can get away with that one.
We're all going to jail after this show, right? You know, we're at least going to be in court after this show. You realize that this is our last show.
I have
show
no idea whether Martha embezzled anything. So,
I'm sure she didn't.
We'll ask Chris next week.
Well, he'll have a phone number by then. Yeah,
I was going to say, is that a euphemism or something?
yeah. Chris is the man. He's going to be the big man this weekend. Let's, God, there's really no news this week, guys.
They're not going to let you through the door, are they, Chris?
There is the Instagram.
There's a picture of Chris at the door of the Martha Stewart show, and then we go, do not let this man in.
Here's the Instagram thing this week. The Instagram HD, the free app in iTunes. I haven't played with this at all, and I've seen that you put this in the show notes, Chris, about in comparison to the Instagram HD, is it really high def, and do we need Polaroid in high definition?
Well, Instagram was updated to version 2, and that version will save, I think the previous version only saved like a roughly 600 by 600 pixel image to your photo
library.
I mean,
it's not gone to huge, has it? I think it's only just over sort of 1200 pixels or something like that. It's not...
Right.
That's fake.
What they're doing now is when you still upload your images to the Instagram service, you know, they have like a kind of a web-based service where people can, you know, view each other's photos that they take. And that still does a lower resolution, something like something on the order of like 600 or 700 pixels square. But when you edit a picture, it'll save a higher resolution version to your photo library, and you can later on print if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And it's free. It is free, I guess, in the App Store, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have Instagram on the phone. I use it. I don't really use it very often though, because I think I used it at Christmas when I got the phone last year, and that was about all that I ever did with Instagram. I guess I'm more of one of these people that I like to stick up on Flickr and do things. But Ewan, I'm surprised you're not on Instagram. A photographer and all, nostalgic person, lover of the arts, 70s man. Why are you not on Instagram?
I've had a play with Instagram. Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen you on there, and you didn't accept my invitation.
No, I've had a play with it, but I like the idea of a nostalgic effect, and I like the fact that it was something that they did free of charge, and you could quickly and instantly post something up. And I liked a lot of the things that went along with Instagram, but there was a bit of me that always sat back and looked, that photo's not as good as it was when I took it, even with some of the special effects on it. So,
isn't that the idea though?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's to take a crappy photo and make it look less crappy by making it look stylized and smaller.
Is this the theme of the show today, the bag of crap?
Well, it could be, yeah.
But if you start off with an iPhone, you haven't got much choice. Unless you're using the Nikon lens, what is the point?
Now, how did Martha Stewart make it into the bag of crap? We'll never know.
No, but you know about this, you got all these filters on Instagram, and I think it was last week I mentioned that one of the troubles with digital photography is you're never going to get the natural effect of a picture aging. I sort of can understand why other people do it, but, you know, to artificially age a digital picture to give it the impression of it being old or taken in the 70s and things, it's almost like, let's ignore history and let's just rewrite it and make it any way we possibly want it. You know, that picture was taken yesterday. It wasn't taken in a 1970s Polaroid film. It hasn't aged in the way it has. If you want pictures to age, then either go in a time machine, take them on film 30, 40 years ago, or just get yourself a decent camera, print them off, or, you know...
Well, I mean, hang on a second.
Shoot on film.
Yeah, hang on a second, because, I mean, okay, the going back and looking like the 70s thing, I kind of agree with. But, I mean, we've all sat there with our images in Photoshop and desaturated them, created a high key effect. You know, we've done lots of that kind of stuff, but we've done it well. That's the key part. It's enhanced the image and made it look stylized and nice. The problem I've got with Instagram, and the one thing I've really got a problem with, is Analog App. I've wasted £5.99 this morning downloading that crap off the net and having a play with it, and it adds artifacts and noise to the image. And when I questioned it, they said, yeah, it's supposed to add noise. Hang on, you're going to take the image that I've just taken and add crap to it to make it look better?
Again, just use an iPhone.
And the thing that gets me is, and this is the real thing that annoys me, is I went to the app. I was sitting talking to Russ on Skype, and the pair of us went through and we had a mess around, found in the app, opened the package contents, and I found all of the filters in there and all of the borders, and I've just ripped them out and put them into a separate folder, and I'm using them in Photoshop and getting 10 times better results.
You've had a beef with this.
I hate this application because they spent a year teasing us that it's coming. They've had Christ knows how many betas. I mean, I put out 52 this morning on the tweet and got told off by them saying it wasn't, but it's in excess of 20 or 30 betas. I'm sure of that much. And what they've produced is more than extremely ordinary. And They're saying we want to look for a tie-up with Instagram. Well, hang on. At least Instagram had the decency to give it away free of charge, and that's why I don't have a problem with Instagram. I've got a problem with these guys giving away it for $5.99, and here's the real boner. It's an introductory price. So it better be going down in prices, or like I say, not up. Yeah, it's $3.99 next week or $1.99 next week. Maybe I'll start to come around a bit. But if they're talking about putting the price up on this thing and adding more filters, the filters they've got on there, you can buy free of charge, or you can get free of charge through a Google search. You know, light leak effects. You type in light leak effects Photoshop, you will get 10,000 pages of responses with very, very good light leak filters that all you've got to do is shove a screen on them and all the black disappears and they look the business.
That's true.
It's a ripoff. It's theft. Yeah. I mean, they've made me mad this week. I'm sorry. They made me mad when they were teasing rubbish, and now they've released rubbish. It's even worse.
Welcome to Bagel Tech Photo, the bag of crap episode, where everything is crap, nothing but the crap. So help me, crap.
I just want to chime in with a little bit to add.
Please, Chris.
What chat room's agreeing with me, by the way? They're saying damn right. Uh huh.
What's your mom doing in the chat room?
We have to. You're Lord Bagel.
I definitely agree. I think that it's overpriced.
I agree. Yeah.
In fact, I used analog on a listing image for Ars Technica yesterday, or not yesterday, 2 days ago, I think. But it actually looks really great. I was happy with the results. I really like the user interface. I think the key to it is ease of use. Now, if you're a professional photographer and you spend all day in Photoshop, there's no reason not to use Photoshop for what this does. But if you're looking for something quick and easy, this does that really well.
I'm not going to disagree with that. It does do it very, very quickly. I mean, it's a monkey-based interface. There's no question. But the problem is, when you take an image and put it in some of the effects, rather than just stylizing it, it degrades the quality of the image that you put in. And that's one thing it doesn't have to do, and it shouldn't do. It should always give you the style, but without the degradation.
I don't think that's their goal. Personally, and I think that it's okay to not like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with not liking that, but I also don't think there's anything wrong with liking it if you do like it.
But what I'm saying, I agree totally that I'm a Photoshop user and an experienced Photoshop user, and I can recreate all of those effects without too much trouble in Photoshop. Why would I buy it? I bought it for the purposes of review. But I can create a macro in Photoshop whereby you could slide any photo in and run the macro on it, and it would give you that stylized effect, but it wouldn't give you the added noise and rubbish that is giving you. Mm-hmm. That's my point. You shouldn't be adding rubbish to the image. And then to charge me an extortionate price for adding that noise and rubbish on with some of the filters really irks me. If you look at the red filter that goes on...
This is what I'm saying, though, that there are people who are going to like that effect. You know what I mean? Like, they're not making this program for you. They're making it for other people who like that. To you, no, it's rubbish. I mean, to someone else, it's cool. That's what I'm saying.
Idiots like me. You know, people like it. We don't know. Oh, wow, cool. Look what it did, man. It put more noise. That's what I wanted. I overpaid for the app, but that's what I wanted. People like me.
Kyle's word, not mine, but sure, idiots like Kyle.
If you're a semi-professional photographer, buy the application, open the package contents, and take all the filters and use them properly in Photoshop or in Photoshop Elements, you'll get great results. Don't buy this application for the interface and what it produces on as an automated process by itself, because it's rubbish.
What if it's 99 cents?
99 cents, good price. I'd say it's a better job at 99 cents. The price really switches me off. But having said that, everything that it does, you can get free of charge on the net if you've got Photoshop. So don't waste the money if you use Photoshop regularly. But even if you say, well, actually, I do like some of the effects it's got, I want that effect. But if you bought it at 99 cents and you opened the package contents and took all the filters and used them in Photoshop, it would be a good buy then. I'd be very happy. If I'd have paid 99 cents this morning for all those filters, I'd have been okay with that.
I would like to point to there's a similar application. Now what I like about analog, like I said, is just the real simple interface. It is very Instagram-like. So if you like Instagram on your phone and you want something like that on your computer and you're fine with, you know, any kind of noise or other things that it adds to the image, I think that's okay. I agree for the price, though, it's a little pricey for what it does for that point. But there's another application called Flare that's been out actually a couple months from a company called Icon Factory. They also make a really good app called Twitterific for the Mac and the iPhone as well. And they do a lot of icon design and other things. They have an app called Flare that is real. It's similar to start with. You drop in an image and you select a preset, but it works by layering. All the effects are a combination of filters that are layered, and you can go in and turn off individual layers. You can adjust them to be more or less intense. You can add or subtract some of the filters. So I think that it's more of an in-between with the, you know, simple analog point click save interface. It's got all the tweaking that I think that someone maybe with more that has more of Ewan's mindset that, you know, I want some of the stylized, but not necessarily all the noise or grain or texture or anything like that. You know, it has much more tweakability.
Mm. And I think if they'd given me a slider, then yeah, I might have agreed.
Right. Mm. I mean, this is what Flare is. And it sells for here in the US, analog is $7.99, and Flare is $4.99. So, you know, yeah. I think that those two, like I said, I'm working on a comparison between the two right now for Ars Technica. So
I think one of the things that's nice about the one thing that disappoints me more than anything actually is that the Analog App has come from Real Mac Software, the people who give you Rapid Weaver and those kind of things, and they've got a stable of great applications and a history of producing fantastic applications at really good value prices, and this one just isn't. That broke my heart a little bit, to be honest, because I've invested emotionally in them.
We know, Ewan. Yeah. We know.
Okay.
We feel your pain. Shall we do questions, guys?
Let's.
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's get into the questions. First question this week, as I get into the page, is from David. And he says, "Hi, guys. Love the show. Recently, I needed an image for my mother's church magazine of a..." I'm not going to try and pronounce this.
Daffodil.
And I'm not... Okay, daffodil. And not being... The way this day's going, man, name? I would have said something different. "And not being the right time of the year, I had to look online. I found a great picture through Google Images that I'm unsure whether I can use it or not. It was from a website for gardening equipment, and it looked as though it was just a promotional image. As it came from a Google search, I'm presuming that it doesn't mean that I can just use it how I want it. We won't be making any money from the image. It's just a nice picture. How can I check to see if the image is freely available, or if there's a website I can go to whom won't charge me for the picture? Thanks for your help." This falls in line of, you know, to use for promotional purposes or to use for financial gain or not. I'll start with you, Ewan, and we'll go around the table.
First thing you should do is stick it in Photoshop and look at the image data, because if you look in the EXIF data, there'll probably be a copyright notice from the photographer who took it, even if it's been used on the website. The digital watermark will come in there. So have a look and see what that is. If you get that, then you may find an email address. And if you write to the photographer and say, "Listen, this is what it's for. Do you mind if I use it for this?" They'll probably write back to you and say, "No, have a go." And that's always worthwhile on Google Images, because you get tons of images out there that are controlled by people. The EXIF data is usually there, and most people are amenable about you using it. They just want their work posted. They might ask you to put a comment or a notification or something in it. But Creative Commons sites are the other ones that Chris has listed some here that I'm going to forward on to David. I've already replied to David, but you can get Creative Commons sites will tell you what the functionality of the image is that you can use, where you can use it, where you can't use it. And there'll be certain things, like if you shoot a picture of like a man and his gun dog or something like that, they will insist that it can't go in an anti-gun sports magazine or something like that, you know, those
man
kind of
and
things.
Gun dog. Very interesting, Ewan. Anything to add, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, the simplest way I'd say is if you're going to do a Google search, do a Google search for free image, free use image, license-free, royalty-free image. So if you want to look, do a royal search for royalty-free image of a daffodil, you know, and then it will be listed as royalty-free, and then you can do it that way. But it depends if you search in the right way in the first place.
Sorry, Alex, but be careful. The royalty-free image still needs to be sold initially. It's only once it's sold that you can't control its function.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if it is, you search for it royalty-free, it will come from a site. It will come from an area where you'll have all the information about what you want. You need to look for a specific... You don't have to necessarily look for a specific usage, but if you do type in the word royalty-free, it will come up with all the uses and non-uses, or it will give you an address to write to if you want that image. So what you've got to do is actually search for the relevant type of image you want, not just the fact that it's a daffodil, but if you use the word you're royalty-free, it will give you all the options of what you're allowed to use it for.
And, you know, he's saying, I'll direct this towards you, Chris, because he's saying about other websites that are out there that maybe you could look for, or they might have a small fee to use the photo or whatever. You know any good websites out there that would be a good place to search for those kind of things? Just off the top of your head?
Yeah. First, I want to give David 100 common sense points for his comment. He said that as it came through a Google search, I'm presuming that it doesn't mean I can just use it how I want.
Mm.
And unfortunately, not many people realize that that is the case. Just because you search for it on Google doesn't mean you can just take it and do whatever you want with it. So 100 points for you, David. I gave some links to Alex on Google Image. When you go to Images, Google Images, and do a search, next to the little search thing, there's a little link, and it says Advanced Search. And when you go there, one of the options is you can search for images that allow for reuse. So they somehow, either in the image EXIF data or you know, in the link or somewhere, it's been indicated that is a CC licensed image that someone can reuse it if they want to. So that makes it really easy.
Creative Commons, correct?
For the CC, yeah, for Creative people. Commons. And Flickr also in their advanced search has the same thing, you know, because Flickr, in when you upload pictures, you can set whether it's copyrighted or, you know, CC licensed or however you want to do it. Or you can even set it to public domain on Flickr. So on both those sites, we use that at Ars Technica all the time to come up with images when we need news stories and we don't have, you know, something supplied by a manufacturer or something like that. We use those CC searches a lot. For stock photo, we have used Jupyter Images in the past. There's some kind of low cost, like iStockPhoto, I think, is kind of a low cost stock photography site. And you can get, you know, Stock Exchange is another one. That's also kind of one of the newer low-cost ones. There's a lot of other professional ones that news sources and magazines and advertisers and stuff use that are typically higher priced. But for something like a church magazine, I'm sure you'd be able to find something like iStockPhoto for, you know, a couple dollars or a couple pounds. I'm not sure how it works out there in the UK. But again, I think just doing searches on Google or Flickr for CC license, you'd find something for free you could use.
Sweet deal. Just do some looking around, basically.
Yeah.
iStockPhoto, I've heard of that before. And it is good of Dave to sit there and actually think about, you know, people like you guys, yourselves, to sit there and say, you know, do I really want to do something with this daffodil that the photographer didn't want me to do with the daffodil? It is nice. People still think that way.
Well, and a lot of people are really happy to share images like this. Mm. Like I said, the CC license lets people share them for non-commercial uses, and this is clearly a non-commercial use. So.
Right. Good deal. Next question, guys, comes from Eric. It says, hi, fellas. Last week, Ewan mentioned that digital cameras have RGB and SGB color profiles. What are these, and how do I find them in my camera and use them? If it's worth doing, of course. Thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. I guess I'll kind of direct this towards you, Ewan, since you opened your mouth last week and said something about RGB and SGB and VGA.
I can't think that there's any digital cameras that wouldn't allow you to change the color profile, and it's Adobe RGB or sRGB.
iPhone won't.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was talking about proper digital cameras, not cell phones. Basically, what you're saying is that the range of colours that you can shoot and that's available digitally, your camera won't necessarily take all of that in. And the profiles that are given, sRGB is a very narrow colour profile, and it shoots a lot less variations of colour than Adobe RGB. Adobe RGB was created for printing more than anything else. And the reason that it came up in the question was someone said that they got a Canon that was shooting a little bit green. Well, Adobe RGB shoots a lot more variants of green than sRGB does. So the reason I said change it is change it to sRGB, because there's not as many green available in sRGB. In real terms, in most of the photos that you shoot, you might not even notice a difference at all. But your colour profile, Adobe RGB was created for printing, not for digital images. sRGB is created for monitors. It's a very narrow field of colour.
Mm. I can remember that actually back in the 80s, PS2s and all of that.
I think, didn't Microsoft have something to do with this? Was Microsoft and someone else?
They might have. Actually, I don't remember. I just remember sometimes if you chose the wrong color profile for the monitor, your game would look like it was in pink land instead of color.
That might be, but profiling your monitor colors is how the monitor then interprets what it receives. That's why you calibrate. But the sRGB and Adobe RGB are set color profiles for an electronic device that gives it its range, its spectrum that it can see.
And yeah, I think that
sRGB was created for monitors, but I think Microsoft were involved in that, but I don't know who else was.
I think on the gaming side was called Video S. I can't remember. It was meant to be a higher standard of video, but if you weren't broadcasting it, it went all funny and it was a horrible colour or went black and white and bitty. Now, it's a similar thing. I mean, I always set my cameras to Adobe RGB, and the reason being is I always set my camera depending on what I want the output for. Now, if I want the output to go into Adobe and then go to a printer, I might as well shoot in Adobe, and I know that the green number, FFF, I don't know what the numbers are, but whatever the number is, you know, they've got a hex number or a big number. I know that if my camera shoots something that it thinks is a certain number, Adobe recognizes it as exactly the same number, and then the printer can print it at exactly that same number. It's like a reference file. So it's better to shoot in whatever you want the color space for your output to be, because otherwise all the conversions, you lose something. And also there's a point, it's like a gamut. That's the word they use. And it's the amount of colours, and some of them will shoot slightly more into the red spectrum, for instance, or slightly more into darker spectrums, and some more into the green spectrums. So what you do is you have to be pretty fussy to really care, but if you know you're going to shoot something that's majority green, then you shoot it with the colour space that's going to give you the higher quality, the more definition, the more differences in your green perspective. I mean, you have to be really fussy, but for most of what everyone wants to do, the middle ground is nearly always enough. But it does depend what you want to output it to.
If you're shooting for the net, then that's what sRGB is created for.
Yeah, it's like, say, for the web. It just basically doesn't pick up the colours that are irrelevant for what your output's going to be. Why pick up 6 billion colours or whatever it is if you're only going to be able to show 10 million? So it sort of, it ignores all the bits you don't want.
And if you're shoving it through Instagram or analog afterwards, why bother at all?
Yeah, shoot it in black and white with the lens cap on.
So it's reducing it to 8-bit colour anyway, so 4-bit colour.
Do you think he's a bit
angry?
Oh
my God. It's going to be another show, Ewan.
Bah humbug.
You got anything to add, Chris, before we get on to our last question about RGB and sGB and R123?
No, they covered it.
Okay. Thank God. Last question, guys. Comes from Gerald. Listening to Alex and Ewan, can't say your name, Ewan, talking about working at customer sites. I wondered what they do to ensure the security of their images between the customer site and their home office. I would have thought that that corruption would be a possibility that they would be mindful of. Ewan? I'll go with Alex first.
Yeah, it's funny. It depends. If it's I'm only taking a few things and it's last thing on a Friday evening, and I know that if it all goes wrong, I can always go back sometime next week and no one cares. I leave it on my camera card and get home. And very occasionally I've put something in, I've gone, old bugger. Oh, I better phone them up and tell them that the printer did it and I need to reshoot it. Blame someone else. That's a really important thing about being a photographer. Remember to blame someone else. It's never your fault. Okay.
Advice.
But, rule number one.
I mean, for instance, I can't remember. I've done two or three really, really big days and really, really big jobs in the last week and a bit. And I used to use an Epson, I don't know what they were called, P400, 500, 700, I don't know what it was.
You might as well have cut your card in half.
No, they were all right. I found it the other day, actually.
Spinning drives.
Yeah, at least I had two copies of it. And now what I do is I take my MacBook Pro around with me, and I don't back up when I finish the job. I back up about every 20 or 30 shots, because what that also enables me to do is I can see if things are going well as I'm doing the shots. And I make a backup as I go along, and I nearly always, if it's a big job, I also make another backup of the whole card before I leave. So I've normally got two backups on my MacBook Pro and one on the camera. But yeah, if it's a big job, I do, because I have lost work between shooting it and getting home. In the old days, I used to, copy the card, put one card in my pocket and leave one in the camera, because I was paranoid of having my camera nicked. I mean, I've flown around the world taking pictures, and it is actually a worry. I did something in, I don't know what it was, it might have been Holland or something, and I actually uploaded it onto my server while I was in Holland, just in case something happened to me and it got lost on the plane or something on the way back. But, I don't often do it. But for big jobs, I back it up.
Now, before, I know, Chris, you got to head out, so you got anything to add to that real quick, or do you, because you've got a major important call from Samsung coming, and we know that's way more important than us.
Is it about the bike?
I don't know. I've been waiting for
They're
call
suing him.
I made a present. I found this on the net. I don't know if this is anything that you knew about, Chris, but Martha knows about you, so.
I was just going to add sometimes when I've gone on site, we'll take a laptop and we'll have two hard drives, and we'll just download all the cards, back them up so they're on two hard drives, and then we leave them on the cards. We don't delete the cards until we get back to the studio and make sure everything's safe. But otherwise, yeah, we just leave the cards as they are, and as soon as we get back to the studio, then we'd download them and again make sure they're on two hard drives before we delete the cards.
That's simple enough. It simplifies things. We know you got to get running, so tell everybody we can get a hold of you before you head out.
As usual, you can find me on arstechnica.com. All my witty banter about Apple-related things or smartphones or tech law or any number of excruciatingly exciting tech-related articles.
And they're always best on a Friday night, about 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Eat some nachos, drink some beer, read some Ars Technica. It happens.
And have fun with Martha.
Oh, I will. I promise. That's
we
my
want
promise.
Photos, and actually, we want video, but I don't know if Martha will allow it.
Well, at least it won't have any clicks on it.
No clicks.
Get going. Let us know what happens with Samsung, and if there's going to be more lawsuits coming with Apple next week.
Okay, will do.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ewan, put your final finishing touches on this.
Well, the thing that I'm pretty anal about is not so much the worry of the secondary card or anything like that. My problem is, because I'm useless, I'm more worried about the fact that I take a card I've already shot on and shoot on it again. So what I carry around a red patch and a blue patch that hold the cards. I've got probably I don't know, 20-ish cards or something like that that I carry around with me. And I'll take the card out and use it, and it comes out of the blue pouch and it goes into the red pouch. And anything that's the red pouch, I don't write over until I get back to the office. So out on the road, I only write onto blue cards. And if the other things as well is the job that I do might be, I don't know if it's different from Alex's, but I spend a lot of time standing around. So I'm waiting for someone to go and get me something, or I'm waiting for someone to move a train and bring another train, or move a car, bring another car, or move a room around so that I shoot it differently, or set something up somewhere else. So I get a lot of time to sit there and just put them on my laptop and have a browse through them and see that, you know, what I've got isn't utter rubbish, and show them to the client and that kind of stuff. So, but that's not a backup. That's not a pre-made backup thing. The big issue for me is not losing the image. It's rewriting the card without noticing.
I was going to say, because you can get really complicated how you do these kind of things. I mean, what's the most simplest, something like me, there's like a rule of thumb for backup, correct? I mean, have one offsite, have one online, have one.
Well, there's a guy that, the photographer, does this 3-2-1 thing, doesn't he? Three types of backup, two types of media, and one offsite. And that kind of, that works really well. I like that. I mean, I've got five copies of every photo I've got. And one of them's a drive that goes up to my parents' house, and I bring it back every month and copy the data, pay it across, and then send it back up again. So the most I can lose is, in a fire, I would lose a month's worth of photography, which isn't that much, really.
Well, sort of one of the things is Mac does make it easy. I've got a habit of, it's something that I fell into. I leave everything I did on work-wise, I leave it on my desktop, and Time Machine makes a backup of my desktop. And then once I've done that, I mean, that's the unadulterated raw files, no one's done anything clever, and half of them I'm going to throw away anyway. Then once I've done the work, I then move it from my desktop into my work folder, which is then backed up again by Time Machine. In a separate place, but it's now thrown away all the stuff I don't want, and it's got the finished articles. And I have another hard drive here that does, I don't know what a bit of software is, but every 2 days, I don't know what it's set to, it just checks that the work folder on that hard drive is the same as the work drive on my Mac. So then it copies it over to that drive if I've added some new work to it, which I hopefully have done by that time. And I think it's weekly now. It backs up whatever's new to my offsite server, and it does it all automatically. So without making any effort, I've got one offsite on a server, I've got two different places on a Time Machine backup, and I've got a separate hard drive, and it does it all for me. But it's just something that I fell into. It's not something that I sat down and planned. But Mac does make it an awful lot easier.
It does. It does. I mean, I'd agree with that. I mean, you really kind of just don't have to think about it. There are options, obviously, for Windows too. And I think a lot of it's just discipline. You just get there, regardless if it's photos, regardless if it's music, regardless if it's documents, back it up. That's the most important thing.
It's habitual. If you work out what the best situation or best way of doing it is, it doesn't take long for that to be just what you do. You know, so work it out and just do it. And then within a few months, that will be what you do. And there won't be, you probably won't even remember that you're doing it. You'll just do it.
Discipline is the game for sure. If you guys want to get in your questions to Bagel Tech Photo, it's simple to do. As you can see, we will answer them. And most times we'll all be around. Chris, unfortunately, had to run to Samsung. I would have done the Samsung thing. I would have done the exact same thing. Bagel Tech Photo. And gmail.com.
I didn't realize Chris was so tall.
Who's done that photo? Good grief.
If you're watching on video now, there's really a surprise in Chris's pants, just so you know. BagelTechPhoto@gmail.com. BagelTechPhoto@gmail.com. We want your questions. We need your questions. We love your questions. We will try our best to answer your questions each and every single week for the show. We got to let you know about our sponsor, UK2.net. They're keeping the Bagel Tech Network alive, really. I mean, every week we're able to bring this show to you for free, and it's really because of UK2.net. Head on over to BagelTechNews.com right now. You're going to see their emblem over there, UK2.net. Click the click-through over there, and that'll take you right over to their site. Domain hosting, servers over there. You've got domain names. Pretty much, if it's online, they're going to have you covered. Get a blog started. They're going to be able to help you out with that. And they've got a thing going on right now, right, Ewan, with the You can win a Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, yeah. If you go to our webpage and click on the logo that's there, it says you can win a Nintendo 3DS, and all you got to do is enter the competition, and you win. It's that simple, perhaps. So,
as we say, do it, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, you get reductions as well on purchases as well. If you buy from UK2, Bagel Tech is the offer code that gets you 15% off. And as well as if you transfer a domain in and you don't want to pay the domain DNS management charge, then you type in Bagel DNS as well as, and that'll take that charge off too. So,
a sweet deal. And we really would be lost without them. So thank you so much, UK2.net. Also, we got the European Podcast Awards going on right now. While you're over at Bagel Tech News, click the thing at the top. You're going to see the European Podcast Awards. This is going on until what? Is this November?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a while to go yet. End of November is when the advertising and all the clicking finishes for voting, but we need lots and lots of clicks. Just make it a regime once a day to vote for us like twice or three times or something, please.
Or 26.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever hours you've
26.
Got.
26. And if you still got time, the reviews are really helping us. It's in iTunes, that is, and it's really expanding our show. We cannot thank you enough for this, especially now with the video podcasts that are going out. I don't even want to know how many terabytes we're doing. I don't think UK2 does either, but thank you, UK2.
I think we've done nearly 11 this month.
Please go over and let us know what you think of the show, especially the videos, since they're out there right now. You guys have been doing it, and we're very, very grateful for it. It really does a lot for us, particularly in iTunes, of putting us up in the charts. So thank you so much for all of you guys' support here at the for all the shows here at the Bagel Tech Network. Anything else, guys, you want to go over? You got anything else you want to go on before? Nope.
You can get a hold of me at Bagel Tech News on Twitter, or you can get me at Ewan Rankin, and you can go to ewanrankin.co.uk and book me for commercial photography work, which I've done some of this week. Thank you very much for the people that have given me the work. Please give me more, though.
Yes.
I'm not being greedy. I just need a bit more. So, that'd be great.
So you can keep criticizing Analog App. That's another show. Yeah. Don't go anymore.
Right. Yeah, if you don't give him any more work, he'll have to do it all on Analog App. So please save us from that.
Yeah, please. G-Man, Alex, G-Man, where can we get a hold of you?
You can get me at Alex G Fox on Twitter, or Alex G Fox at twitterything.com or Alex@twitterything.com. And I'd just like to publicly thank Sarah Gray for putting the Bagel Tech Photo Flickr link on the main page and all subsequent pages on the Bagel Tech website. So there's no excuse for everyone not to join in on the Bagel Tech Flickr group now.
I've got to do my, I've got inspiration for my project for 9 for September. I need to shoot it this afternoon though, otherwise I'm going to be late again.
I actually did one.
Yeah, I saw yours. It was good, mate.
Okay, so everyone get involved. I can't be good.
What's the theme?
9. Oh, number
hell.
9.
So, what show do you do, Carl?
I already did that one.
You did 9?
Yeah, it's the iPhone, but it was supposed to be in reverse, so I guess I did it for 9 too, but it was for 9.
Yeah, okay. Well, then we'll get another one for next month. So October's, one of the listeners can suggest what next month's. Actually, Carl, you haven't suggested yet, so you can pick next month's topic.
Okay, I'll do it next week.
If you make it 6, I can just flip my 9 round and we'd all be done.
That'd be great. That's a sweet idea, Alex.
Or not.
We hope you'll come back. We hope you guys will come back next week for all this bag of crap, because we hope you didn't think it's all crap, but it was enjoyable. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope to see you next week for another episode of Bagel Tech Photo. Have a great weekend.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.